You're listening to a Franciscan Voice podcast, your voice for all things good.
So if at home you're following along with a liturgical aid, you'll notice it's a different gospel than might have appeared for the sixth Sunday of Easter in front of you. That's because with Ascension Thursday being moved to next Sunday, we have the option of using what's traditionally the gospel for the seventh Sunday of Easter. And so we chose that reading today from John's Gospel, from the 17th chapter, the very beginning. And we'll come to that in a moment. But I'd like to begin with a story. The first time I visited Padua, Italy, I was greeted by a friar. He was taken to my room, and I would say within 5 minutes, another friar who blessedly spoke English came and knocked at the door and said, "Come with me. This is your first time here, I hear." I said, "That's right. This is my first time." He says, "Then you must come right away and see St. Anthony." This was a visit to a tomb of a saint like none other that I have ever visited in my life. Because with the tomb of Anthony, it's very tactile. People stand in lines that go forever so that they can find time with St. Anthony at his tomb, and they walk up, and the friar showed me exactly how it's done, and he explained it. He says, "We come close to St. Anthony, and we place our hands," he said, "on the tomb and lean in to offer our prayer, to be close to him." Later that day, I returned and watched the people praying at the tomb. They all waited very patiently in line, and no one was ever rushed. For they all knew that they would get their time, and they knew that they themselves wouldn't be moved along too soon, so they waited. And as I watched, I looked at them praying silently, and it was as if each of us, when we leaned into the tomb of St. Anthony, we tried to stir him, the great miracle worker, into action. My sisters and brothers, in today's gospel from John, we hear from Jesus's farewell prayer. Jesus's farewell prayer that tries to stir the Father into action. In this gospel passage, he had just finished before answering Philip's question as to where he was going. So now he turns to prayer. And in this public prayer of his, prayed with his disciples, like the Our Father, he continues to teach them how to pray publicly. And this was something that was very typical of the culture of Jesus in the Middle East. The first part of the prayer is about glory and honor. The Father has promised Jesus glory. And the Father is honorable. He has integrity. So Jesus reminds the Father that both he and his disciples need to be seen as honorable. And then second, Jesus moves on to identify himself and his disciples to the Father and speaks of his relationship with his disciples. And then he moves in the great switch to the third part, which comes the ask. In this prayer, Jesus knows he is leaving, and so he asks for protection for his disciples. And the Father's honor that was invoked at the beginning of the prayer is on the line here. Let's distill this prayer into three simple parts. Jesus speaks directly to God the Father, with whom he has a close relationship. He knows the Father and how God works in the world. Second, he knows his disciples and that they will need help, they who are praying with him. So he introduces them and draws them into the prayer. And Jesus then, in part three, has the ask, where he stirs God into action. What is foundational in praying this way is the belief that God is in control. For the folks living at Jesus' time and his culture, this was a given. For us today, this fundamental disposition is often found lacking in our world. The belief that God is in control is not all that popular, even before the coronavirus came. Have you ever seen the bumper stickers on cars that say, "God is my co-pilot"? That means I'm still the pilot. I'm in control. Again and again, we come up against this mentality today of help yourself, because no one else will. As a result, we risk not praying as Jesus did. Too often, our prayers are composed to impress or to edify the listener, rather than to stir God into action. Think for a moment about grace at meals. How many times does a family gather for a meal, and it's time for grace, and it becomes the great not it moment, where the last person aware of the impending prayer gets stuck offering the grace? Why do we say, "Not it, not me, you say the prayer"? Most likely it's because we're afraid that we won't impress or edify the listeners at the table. We need to trust more that we do know God, and those prayers are in our hearts. Like the pilgrims at the tomb of St. Anthony, we need to lean into our prayers and stir God to action with words from our hearts. Another difficulty today is that folks will say, "But I did what Jesus said to do. I asked, and no answer came. I went to seek, and I found nothing. I knocked, and that door is forever closed." Well, my first response to these kind of statements is to quote Garth Brooks, who wrote a whole song about how some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers. When we ask, when we seek, when we knock in prayer, Jesus is asking us to do so in right relationship with God, coming out of a mentality, a disposition, a belief that God is in control. Jesus asked, and the Father answered Jesus' prayer for glory, the glory of the cross. Jesus sought, and the Father answered Jesus' prayer, invoking his honor as protection, and gave the disciples Mary as their mother and the Holy Spirit as their advocate. Jesus knocked, and the door opened for the disciples to find holiness through suffering and death, always trusting and holding on to the hope of the resurrection. So, my sisters and brothers, let us imitate Jesus' prayer. Let us first name God and claim the glory that has been promised to us. Then let us name in our prayer everyone in our world, especially the most vulnerable, all of whom are part of our human family. And then let us put God's honor on the line and ask in a way that we lean in to stir God to action, so that in these days of ours, we pray that God will protect our human family from despair, from hopelessness, and from the darkness of doubt. Let us lean in and ask for goodness, seek hope, and knock on the door of the light of the resurrection, stirring God to action. Amen.
To find other episodes and more content from Franciscan Voice, follow us at our website at franciscanvoice.org.